sitting here scheduling out my next three issues of Mother Panic. And I think I'm insane. No, I schedule things out so crazy in advance. So to the T, I kind of have to. I mean, I'd like the amount of time on a book where I don't have to be so focused on schedule, but right now, this is what I need to do. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm hoping I can change that. After these three issues, I am really hoping I can change that. Especially on a 22-page book. This schedule would be great for a 20-page book. Oh, it'd be awesome. Anyways, enough about that. Welcome to Ink Pulp Audio. Today we've got Trips Kahai. Trips is another Ink and Dagger artist. He's also become a friend of mine, and he's from Hawaii, so I guess I had an agenda going in, because in my mind, because I've been to Hawaii, life there would be really better. I have this idea in my head that if you live in a more beautiful place, life is better. Maybe there's some truth to that to some extent. And I think that's what I was trying to figure out. Because look, where I live in Atlanta is not a bad place to live. It's affordable. You have everything you need. And if you go seek out the trails and such of that nature, Georgia's a beautiful state. And so there's a lot of that. I don't know. I guess I've spent a lot of years looking outward to solve problems I felt inward. And that's not a solution. So you might hear me trying to squeeze it out of Trips, but maybe you, like me, will learn that life is life wherever you go. So enjoy this episode. All right, we're going. So you were born in Hawaii?
Uh-huh, yep.
Which island?
Oahu. Born in, Honolulu.
Honolulu?
Yeah. It's like the major city.
But Oahu is the island.
Yeah.
Were you first generation born in Hawaii?
For my mom's side, no. For my dad's side, yes. My dad's Korean. Okay. My mom's Hawaiian.
So your mom's native to the bone.
Yeah. Oh, well, she's half. She's half Hawaiian. Hawaiian, Filipino, Portuguese, Spanish. Yeah. Right. And then my dad is Korean.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he came over.
He came over when he was like, I think like middle school or elementary maybe.
So he was there a long time.
Yeah, he came in elementary. Yeah.
All right. So what's life like over there? I mean, I visited once and I thought it was just beautiful, but I also thought it would probably be, I know it's expensive as hell to live there.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Is it a different way of living?
Yeah. I mean, it depends where on the island, excuse me. It depends where on the island, you kind of grew up. I kind of moved around a little bit, you know, because we didn't really have money growing up. Uh-huh. And then later on, my dad started doing construction, like, off on his own and started doing a little better. But, for me, growing up in the beginning was a little rough. Hawaii is really expensive with everything. So, you know, unless you had money, you were living in, like, you know, the low-income areas.
Right.
Or you were living with, like, multiple families in one home. So when I was younger, we didn't have a home. So I remember it was, my grandparents. So my grandpa and my grandma, my uncle, which is my mom's younger brother, her older brother, his two kids, my Auntie Gina, and my mom. So there was eight of us.
But not your dad?
My dad, nah, he went, there, you know, he was already jam-packed, so my dad went and did his thing and tried to, like, get us a home. Like, he was with us at points, but there was points where he wasn't, you know. It was really rough in the beginning. But then later on in life, like, it wasn't as bad. So, yeah, it wasn't as bad later. Just depends, you know. It was, like, family is real close there, so, you know, we always had a place to stay and, like, food to eat and stuff. It was just, yeah, Hawaii's a little expensive, so.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. I mean, when I was there, I remember growing, the first thing we did was went to the grocery store to stock up the room we were in. I couldn't believe how expensive everything was.
Yeah. Down to, like, milk.
Milk was crazy.
Yeah, Costco is probably, like, where everyone shops.
I went to families. Costco there when I was there.
Yeah.
Brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. She's 9 years younger than me. So, yeah. She's in high school. I don't know her.
You're young.
Yeah, I'm 25.
What did you say? Sorry.
She's, huh?
You just said sorry. Something about her.
Oh, yeah. She's in high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you guys close?
Close-ish. Like, I mean, I don't, like, call her on a regular stuff, but, right. You know, I talk to her every now and then. It's a little harder that I moved away. You know, yeah. When I was home, we lived together, so obviously we were close. But, yeah, since I've been out here, we talk occasionally, but not
when
as much.
When you say it was rough when you were little, like, what does that mean? Rough financially? Or I mean, were you guys, like, in a happy environment?
Good environment, yeah. Like, family back home is, like, you know, really important. And, you know, I feel like, the poorer you are, the richer you are with, like, that kind of things. 'Cause then you appreciate it, you know, a lot more. And then, I don't know, like, I mean, even when my dad started doing a little better and stuff, it was still good. It was just, you know, we've seen him less.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like a give
and
take.
But when he wasn't living with, when you were living, like, with your whole family, but not your dad, where was he staying?
Honestly, like...
I mean, were you seeing him a lot?
I thought he lived with us, but then when I talked to my mom when I got older, like, she would, like... Because, like, there's some things that I kind of, like... I guess my mind just kind of, like, blocked out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would ask my mom some questions, and she was telling me, you know, like, we were kind of, like, broke and homeless in a way. But we you know, we had family to support us and stuff, so we weren't really, you know, just... We didn't have a physical place that was our own.
Right.
So for, I think it was like a few years, it took my dad to save up, and then he finally, like, moved us out.
So your mom and your dad during that point, everything was cool with them.
Yeah, yeah. Just money. It was just my dad trying to raise us as an apprentice. Like, he was, he had, like, a, taking care of two people, and he was apprenticing in flooring. So
in being where?
Flooring. Did flooring.
Oh, flooring. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah, like, for my childhood growing up, I remember, instead of going to, like, daycare or, like, you know, anywhere else, we didn't have money. So I went to the job site.
Oh, did you?
That was where I hung out. I picked up rubbish all day, and pretty much that's how I spent, like, you know, my summers, my days off, like, working.
So you were helping him at work?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Daycare / helping him.
Were there any accidents?
Huh?
Any accidents having a little kid running around a construction site?
For me, yeah, I've been hurt a few times, but mostly like as I was like got older though and started like actually helping.
Okay.
Like at first, I would go and I'd just like pick up rubbish and just like hang out with him all day. That was how we hung out.
Mm-hmm. So you have a good relationship.
Yeah, somewhat.
Somewhat.
I mean, like I said, I'm not like, I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe it's just like a guy thing, but I don't really like to talk on the phone too much, so
yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? So I don't really like talk to them as much as I've been out here, but
talk to,
I mean, I'm
family?
Still close to them. Yeah,
sure.
My wife does. She talks to my mom every day.
That's good. My wife talks to my mom every day, but we're here. I imagine, what was it like moving out here?
It was cool. I mean, really different environment.
To go from Hawaii to Atlanta, just for people
I went to the beach a lot growing up.
Yeah.
And just like being at home. So coming out here and not having a beach, that, you know, it's a little different. But then coming out here and being able to drive to any state that I want to.
Right. I remember when you first came here. Really enjoyed that.
Yeah. Because you can't just like pick up and drive to Orlando for the weekend. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
You just can't do that in Hawaii. But out here, you know, it's a cool experience. Like, road trips are pretty fun. I've never really done it until I came out here. So,
you're enjoying it.
It's cool. Yeah. Georgia's cool. It's not bad. It's really different. It's a really big city.
Yeah.
Everything's really far apart.
Uh-huh.
Complete opposite of what, like, I'm used to.
Right.
But it's really cool because, I don't know, like, I get to experience different things.
Sure, sure. What do you miss most about Hawaii?
Probably, like, the food.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, the food out here is good and all, but it's totally different. Like, the kind of foods we eat, how they cook the foods, like, it could be the same type of food. It's just prepared differently. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then a lot of like the vegetables and the fruits.
Oh, yeah.
Super fresh over there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, for something like I could drive around the island, buy a bunch of fruits, like fresh, you know,
yeah,
and you can just eat it right there. So it's a little different for that.
It's interesting to hear that that it's been an enjoyable experience for you to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, the mountains are great here, and that's a good way to get in touch with nature.
I have been to, like, Stone Mountain, but I haven't
been up to the mountains.
I haven't been hiking, like, really, because I got two kids like, my wife. I personally, when I was in Hawaii, I used to go hiking a lot with my friends.
Uh-huh.
But my wife hates it. She hates, like...
Oh, really?
She doesn't like... getting dirty and being
in the
woods.
Dude, the hiking around Atlanta is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be totally down to do that. But, like, yeah, I would have to find people to go with. You know what I mean? Because I don't really know the area.
We have, like, there's, like, a group of comic book guys. I mean, now that it's getting warmer, we'll probably start it up again where we go on Sunday hikes.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool.
Yeah,
I'd be down for
come.
That. But I do work on Sunday, so it depends what we'd finish the hike.
Well, the hikes are, I mean, they're like a... They're like a three-hour thing.
Three-hour thing.
So, yeah. I mean, we could do it on a Saturday. I mean,
yeah. I mean, but I'm totally down to that. That'd be cool.
All right.
Yeah.
I guess I wonder if there was something spiritually fulfilling about being in Hawaii that you find absent being in, like, suburbia.
It's peaceful. Like...
Here?
No, in Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Right, right.
Hawaii's peaceful. Like, I would say everyone's a lot more laid back.
Sure.
Like, really just, like... But then again, there's also, like, pros and cons to being super laid back. Like,
right. Like getting a paycheck?
Yeah, that. Just, you know, being on time to a lot of things. Nah, but... yeah, man. I don't know, like... Just when I'm home, it just feels, you know, comfortable. When I'm out here, I love it too, you know, but it keeps me on my toes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely keeps me on my toes. It's cool though. It's more of the environment I need to grow.
Right.
Know, so,
how the heat first hit you when you got here?
It's not that hot. It's all right.
Here?
Like, I don't know. For some reason, I felt like Virginia was way hotter than here.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
it got to the point where I remember coming from my ship. I used to be in the military.
Right.
And
right,
coming from my ship to, like, my car. And the parking lots are, like, a pretty good distance. There was days where I didn't really want to walk to my car without an umbrella or something. Like, it was pretty hot, man. I was like, wow, I'm not used to that. But over here, the weather's been good. Snow, you know, like, that's another thing that I found really cool about Georgia is that it actually snows here sometimes.
Yeah.
I know the locals are like, oh, that's not snow. I'm like, but it is coming from the sky and going onto the ground.
Right,
so
right.
That's more than
it
I see.
White. So as a kid, did you always have an interest in art?
Yeah, I did. My grandma's brother, he's a graphic designer. So he's always been a really big influence. He's really, like, way younger than my grandma. So he was like closer to like my dad them's age.
Okay.
So he would like, you know, he would just always be there. And like, I remember him giving me my first black book, like sketchbook. Uh-huh. And throughout life, all the presents I ever got from him was like art related. Like, I remember younger being getting like pastels from him.
Okay.
And then when I started, like, I tried to go to a few community like classes for art and stuff. He gave me like this wooden case Prisma color full pencil set.
Oh, nice.
You know, like that's the kind of things that he would give me.
Now, was he giving it to you because you showed an interest in it, or were his gifts giving you the interest in it?
Well, a little bit of both. Like, my parents also like noticed that I enjoyed it. Because when I was younger in school, I had a friend, Aaron. First time I ever remember, like, picking up a pencil to draw a picture.
Yeah.
Well, that I could remember, you know, was he used to draw these, like, hot, like import cars. And he just would draw them all decked out, lowered rims. And I used to think, oh, that's dope. And I was like, show me how to do that, man. Yeah. And then, like, I just remember in class, we'd draw every day. Like, we'd go to school and, you know, instead of doing work, we'd be fucking off. But like, you know, like,
what grade is this?
I was in elementary, like, as young as I can remember. I don't really remember the exact age,
but
it was import cars and graffiti for me in the beginning.
Sure.
Straight lettering and that. And then, my parents, he would buy me like art things, and my uncle would be there like influencing me. Here and there, I didn't realize it, but now I look back, I'm like, huh, that did help. You know, like,
right.
Like, he'd see me, but hey, you drawing in your book? I'm like, yeah. He goes, give me like full pages of like squares and triangles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why? I was like, those are just shapes. And he was like, just do it. He's like, do that and then show me. I want you to draw a perfect circle without, you know,
right.
without any error. Let me see it. And I remember I would practice those circles, you know, like.
Yeah, there's, when I was a teacher, I gotta see if I remember this. There's five shapes that everything you're gonna draw is made up of. It's a sphere, a cube, a cone, a pyramid, and a cylinder. Did I say cylinder? No. Yeah, I think that's it. I think so. Everything consists of like those three-dimensional shapes that we found in everything. And in fact, like the drawings you're doing, that's what we're going to get into next, is finding those shapes and everything. So yeah, there's definitely a point to drawing that stuff. A basic point, but a point. So did your uncle have a bunch of like cool, like old school graphic design tools that you were always like interested in?
I remember when I started apprenticing, he had this big, like, it looked like a light box.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we just use the computer to do this.
Yeah.
But I just thought it was cool, and he gave it to me. And
a light box?
It was like, he said at school, he remembers everyone would have to, like, stay after school to use it.
Right.
But it's something where I could, like, post my image underneath.
Uh-huh.
And then using the turn wheels, I could zoom in.
Oh, yeah.
Onto the image, and it blew it up onto my tracing paper.
Yeah.
And then I traced it on top of the light box like that.
Projector.
And it was huge. Like, it was just this big-ass machine. But he gave it to me. Like, I thought that was pretty cool.
Would it project? Would you project onto a wall, or was it above you projecting down?
It would, like, the light box would be up top.
Right.
And then there would be, like, it would look like a camera almost. Like
I remember using
those. And
then
it goes into the bottom, into the midsection, and you put the image underneath.
Right.
And then it would project from there into the light box.
Right.
And then you would
raise
draw
it
on the
lower
top.
It.
Yeah. And then you could use the turn wheels.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So
I remember having that around. That was kind of, like, pretty cool.
That's really cool. Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, my uncle, his studio, he built, like, at my grandma's house, he built an extra house, like a full-on building behind my grandma's house in the backyard, and that was his studio. We
all helped,
like,
oh,
it,
really?
Like, it was like, you know, in Hawaii we have a lot of family that do all different types of things.
Sure.
And my uncle is Filipino, so it really hard workers. Uh-huh. And I remember on weekends, like, my cousins that lived there helped every day. I would go over on the weekends and help them, like, dig and stuff like that. But from the foundation up, they cut down. There was a big mango tree in the backyard. And it was huge, but it was so big that the roots were growing into the house.
Uh-huh.
And they had to cut it down. So when they cut it down, there was this big empty spot in my grandma's backyard. And my uncle's like, all right, well, that's going to be my office. So from the base, like from nothing, built the foundation. I have an uncle that pours cement. You know, they poured that in. We have another uncle, Uncle Norman. He's a masonry, and like the other, you know, like they just do. We have uncles for everything, you know, electrician.
You got a lot of uncles.
And so pretty much that house was built on. I mean, obviously we paid some people, and some of them were just like straight up family. You know, my dad did all the flooring and stuff like that. Okay. And I helped. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing, but they told me to do it and I did it. So,
and this was a studio.
It's kind of like a house slash studio. Like
okay.
The whole upstairs, he built it for his studio. The whole downstairs is like recreation.
So did it have like plumbing in it?
Oh yeah. They built it with showers and stuff. Okay. My cousin, he used to play the drums, and my uncle like was super into music for him. So there's a bunch of like xylophones and just like all kind of art, musically inclined things with like just a big TV and stuff. So yeah, that was like the hangout room at grandma's house, and upstairs was my uncle's office. So I mean, we were always there, always kind of watching him. He used to have a smaller office when I was younger, and then they built the building. But
I mean, this sounds amazing to just have this much family and closeness around. It sounds very pleasant. Was it pleasant?
Growing up was awesome. Yeah, I had a lot of family. Grew up with my cousins. I live, because like I told you, the situation with me was, we were not as wealthy in the beginning. Right. So whenever, you know, my grandparents or my cousins all had spring break or whatever, that's where we were. We were at grandma's house. They watched us the whole summer. Like, I see my parents every now and then, but they were doing their thing, working and getting some time away from us.
Some needed time.
But yeah, it was cool because then I got to bond with family.
So is it hard to be away from everyone like that?
It's a little tough because we were really close.
Yeah.
Growing up with, you know, living with everyone. So we obviously were a lot closer.
Mm-hmm.
But as we got older, I mean, like some of us moved. My mom's younger brother lives in L.A.
Uh-huh.
My older cousin, which is my mom's other brother's son, we used to also live together. He lives in LA as well, like in half an hour away from, my uncle. My, younger cousin, which is my uncle, my grandma's brother's son. He's in art school right now. He's, in California.
You know which school? Is it in San Francisco, Los Angeles?
It's close to like Los Angeles area.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. I think he's trying to pursue like what my uncle did in graphic design, but I'm not, I'm not 100%. My younger cousin is like super into like the graffiti scene and stuff. So he likes doing that. Like, yeah,
he's young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a few directions I want to go in. Let's stick with this. So what was high school like during that time?
For me?
Yeah.
High school. I went to Campbell. It's in Eva Beach in Hawaii. It was, growing up for me, it was one of the more rougher schools on the island for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was like more towards like west side. We're south side, but it was like westbound. So it was like, that's where all the locals live.
Okay.
Like, you know, towards the city, it's more like, I would say a lot more like Asian mainland influence.
Okay.
And then all towards like the countryside, that's where we're from. And, you know, they keep a lot of like the Hawaiian homestead or like just a lot of like the locals will live there because it's cheaper.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So school was great, you know, but then again, it was also it was a battlefield, man. Like
how so?
It was a little more territorial kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like if you went from there, like they don't like you kind of thing. You know what I mean? So
is that typical of the islands in Hawaii?
I mean, like I said, it was just the area that you go to. Like,
okay.
You wouldn't go to, you know, any random place and just go to their hood, you know?
Sure.
No matter where you go, there's going to be a ghetto. And, I mean, it wasn't, like, super ghetto, but it wasn't no, like, suburbia prep school either.
Right, you know what right, I mean? Like, did you have to worry about gangs or anything in those days?
Gangs are, like, a little, like, wishy-washy. Like, I want to say gangs were super popular in Hawaii.
It was just territories.
It was like cities and stuff. Like right. I guess you could call it a gang, but it's not really.
So you know it was just territorial stuff.
It was
stuff.
Just like, yeah, I'm from Eva Beach, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Like,
so did you just stay pretty close to your your turf?
I didn't really, like, you know, no. I mean, like, I was cool with a lot of people all over. I moved around a little bit. Okay. But, I mean, like, I would just say, for instance, I remember when I was younger in high school, there was one week we were on lockdown because of all these different schools coming to, like, fight with us.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 1 week straight, we had a different school every single day after school come to our school
and,
like,
try to fight. Do you know what spawned that?
I think a lot of it was girls and just, like, stupid shit, man. Like, just dumb stuff. Like, some of the dudes would go out, get into fights outside.
Were you getting in the mix or were you staying away from it?
I tried to stay away from it a little bit, you know. But, you know, sometimes you just get involved and, you know, you have no choice. But, like, I mean, it was a good, you know, good place to grow up. There was a lot of, you know, good memories I had of it. But I also remember it wasn't, like, you know.
Was there a lot of partying?
A lot of partying, yeah. Hawaii's a beach state, you know. Right. It's, like, real hooked on, like, I don't know, like, everyone's chill, but everyone loves to get loose. So drinking and all that stuff, it's you know.
Was it mainly alcohol?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember when we were younger, we'd go to the beach. Everyone would line up at the beach right up the road from my house, and we'd party there at night.
Yeah.
You know, we'd line up all the cars. Everyone would, it'd be like a sound competition, you know, like, and then we would take turns. Someone would turn their car off, let their battery, you know, chill for a little bit. And someone else would come on.
Just to crank up the music?
Yeah. And we could, you know, we lived on the beach, or no, we didn't live on the beach, but we were at the beach and we could just pump it as loud as we wanted to. Sure. Nobody would bother us. So.
Did you have bonfires and stuff going?
Yeah, most definitely.
So, like, what was weed like in that time for you? Was it abundant?
For weed?
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, high school,
it wasn't legal or anything.
No,
but
it
was.
Was it?
It was easy to get. It's in the islands, so, like, everyone that I know smoked or still does.
Was it good and fresh and?
Yeah, really fresh. Like,
yeah, see that.
A lot of this stuff I think was like California bud or something, but there was some stuff grown on the island too.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about.
Pretty good, yeah.
I mean, where I grew up, like, yeah, weed. I mean, I started smoking at 15 and probably smoked every day until I was about 25, 26.
Yeah.
But in high school, I mean, it was just what I call mulch. I mean, it was just brown dirt that you're smoking.
It's weird, man. I felt like the high school kids had, like, some pretty good stuff. I don't know. Like, I mean, because, like, I feel like they were pushing all the stuff for all the other, like, I don't know. I don't want to get into that. Okay. But I'm just saying, you know, like, it was pretty good.
Well, I mean, the reason I ask is because I remember in high school, like, the myth was, like, Hawaii weed was the best weed.
I mean, I can't tell you what the mainland weed was like in high school, but for me, it was...
I mean, if it was fresh and smelled good,
I don't know if it was, I just had less tolerance back then, but I'd remember, like, sometimes taking a, you know, smoking a blunt with the homies and just, like, passing the fuck out. Yeah. Just like, all right, I'm done, you know? I don't feel like that anymore. I don't really get like that. But then again, like, my tolerance probably has kind of built a little bit, so.
I get that now. Did you fuck with other stuff when you were younger?
Not really.
Any hallucinogens?
Nah, I never did.
Have you never done mushrooms?
I've tried it once, but that was as an adult, not as
and
like.
You didn't like it?
It was interesting. Super interesting. Yeah. I can't say I didn't like it. I can't say.
No, I had a lot of fun with that stuff. A lot of fun.
Yeah, it was cool.
Did you find that in high school, your art allowed you to run in many different circles of people?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I remember the first time I, I don't know, man. Like, I kind of went in and out. Like, I was really athletic growing up. Boxed, did basketball, wrestled.
When you say you boxed, did you do it, like, competitively?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
In high school?
Yeah.
Did you have, like, a high school boxing team?
No. The most of the boxing, like, gyms and stuff were, like, outside and stuff. Where I used to box, it was in Waipahu. It was at the district park. They had, like a it was a pretty legit gym.
Okay. Yeah. Did you have, like, a coach there? Like, someone
taught
you?
Yeah, several coaches. I mean, there's a bunch that were always there. The head coach was Silva.
Yeah.
He was, like, pretty much the OG, the old man that kind of, like, you know, you see his posters hanging up all over the walls of, like, when he was champ and when he was younger. And,
that's awesome.
You know, he's a pro fighter. And Coach Armando was like the lead coach that mm-hmm. was like actually training us. And then Coach Keone, there was a bunch of coaches that I've had throughout. And then, you know, I've also trained other things, but, when I had my kids, I kind of fell back from that. Like, I remember sure. the last year I trained was the year that my son was born.
Oh, really? Up to that recently?
Yeah. That was like the most like active I was. And
that
then,
was just a couple of years ago.
Well, I was training other things. Like when I got out, of high school, I joined the military and mm-hmm. then, I stopped training for a while again, and I was just kind of doing my own thing on the side. You know, I was still training myself, but not like with a coach or anything. And then when I was in the military, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to just try again. So I jumped in Muay Thai.
Oh,
and,
okay.
I did Muay Thai for a minute, and then I got out of the military, and then that's when I went home. And as soon as I got home, my wife got pregnant. So,
oh wow!
Well, which was my girlfriend at the time,
right?
Yeah. So they kind of put a yeah. I haven't since then. So,
did you, in high school were you were having fights, like competitive fights and stuff?
I mean, I would on the like I said, I played a lot of sports, so mm-hmm. I did boxing all the like year round was a boxing thing because there's no season for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also took breaks to play other things. So like. I did a few like sparring scrimmages out in Wamanalo and stuff like that, but like you know, I did it to like keep in shape between right. seasons of other sports.
So you weren't like getting knocked around a lot.
No, I sparred like every day. Like oh, okay. there was different like there was the fighters of the gym, and then there were people that trained there. You know okay. what I mean? Fighters were people who actually stepped in the ring and
so
like,
you were did trainer. Bouts.
I actually fought.
You
a
fought.
Few, yeah. I in the ring, yeah.
And how'd you do?
I did all right. My first fight, I was young. I was like a freshman, and I was a little overweight, you know. And my coach just wanted to see what I had and see yeah. if it was worth training me. So he threw me in the ring. He's like, all right, well, let's see what you got. Trained me for like a month and threw me in there just to see what I had.
Yeah.
It was more of a sparring scrimmage at that one.
Okay.
But yeah, I fought this dude, Nainoa Thompson. He was 19. I was 14.
Oh my God.
And it was a height difference. It was 5'6" to 6'2". So the dude is big, man.
Yeah.
But you know, I held my own.
Did you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, awesome. We went all three.
Oh, it was, wow.
You know, amateur. So we went right. all three rounds. Obviously, like, you know, I said it was my first fight. Kind of just started training or whatnot, and I fought a dude that was like out of high school. So, you know, I lost on points, but the next fight I came back and yeah, I handled business.
What does three rounds feel like physically? Is it the absolute most exhausting thing?
If you're going all out and you're like, you know, not conserving your energy, then yeah, it's the most exhausting thing. But it could get worse. So that's not, you know,
right.
I'm not saying that's the worst thing.
Sure.
Happen.
Sure.
It could be longer.
Did you ever knock anyone out?
Yeah, not like in an actual fight, like in, not in an actual like ring.
In a street fight.
I mean, just, you know, on the occasion it's happened.
So what,
self-defense, let's say that.
What, so you get out of high school and how long until you go in the military?
Almost immediately. I was in an okay spot, but probably not in the best in my parents' eyes. And,
did they think you had like no direction?
Yeah.
Where was Art with you at this point?
I was all over the place. I was kind of adapting to the environment, as you could say. And I kind of just said, fuck it.
Okay.
Wasn't planning to go to college. Didn't want to do construction with my dad anymore. Cause I mean, you know, I love him and all, but I did that my whole life.
Right.
Like I said, since I was young, I've been on the job site picking up rubbish. And by the time I was graduating, I knew that that's not what I wanted to do.
Okay.
I was like, any kind of physical hard labor on my body, like I'm done with it. Like I've done this my whole life.
Right.
Every time I've had off on school, like,
uh-huh.
That was my weekend. You know what I
mean? So it wasn't like, I want to go into art. You just knew what you didn't want to do?
I knew what I didn't want to do. And right. I didn't want to like kill myself working. For me, the direction towards tattooing, it's funny because it started with tattooing. Throughout high school, I had my first tattoo at 13, going to be 14.
You got your first tattoo?
Yeah, I was about to be 14. I was a freshman, I think. I was 2 weeks away from my 14th birthday.
Okay.
So it started with that. I got like my first tattoo, hung around like a lot of graffiti dudes. Uh-huh. And
was it a friend that tattooed you? Someone you knew?
It was actually a pretty well respected graffiti artist back home.
Okay.
How did one you of my tattoo one of my best at- friends? Yeah. His dad is Prime, Kealoha is his name, and his dad used to hold these paint sessions on the weekends.
Okay.
I used to sleep over their house almost every fucking weekend. So, you know, I was there all the time.
Right.
And his dad was like a pretty, he did like a lot of like the murals, like of the Hawaiian like queens and stuff like that. Okay. Down in like, in Hawaii. And like he does like urban, 808 urban and all that stuff. But, he's a pretty good graffiti artist. And, I remember just being in high school and watching them paint. And like he would throw these things
when
on the weekends.
You're talking about spray cans, spray paint, graffiti, yeah.
And what happened was that what they would do is like they would get like a bunch of the OGs and a bunch of like the really really good graffiti guys to come to the house on the weekend because his dad was, you know, pretty good,
right?
And they bring a bunch of the young kids out of the community and just like try to get them off the streets,
uh-huh.
And get them doing like pieces, you know, like art.
Right.
And so I remember like so just it was like it being was around
a,
that
they were using art to try to. Give some positive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try to
okay.
like give back to the community a little sure. bit. And so when I was there, I remember telling my uncle, I was like, hey, uncle, I'm trying to get tattooed. You know, my dad said it was cool. And I was like, you know, do you know anybody? I figured he'd be the best person to ask because he knew everyone. Like he knew all the dudes. And
right.
luckily at the house at that time that I asked him, he's like, yo, follow me. He's like, all right. So I followed him. He's like, he introduced me. He's like, this Reek, you know, it's Jordan. You know, you guys can talk. And he just walked away. And then I met Reek. He was airbrushing. He was doing this like little character. And I was like, yo, that's fucking dope, dude. Yeah. He's like, thanks, man. And he's like, what you trying to get? And I was like, you know, I want to get my name. Let me get it right across my forearm. Back home, it was like the thing, man. Like, you know, I used to box. So it was more like letting them know who's coming for him. You know what I mean?
Right.
But, yeah, so I was there, and he sat me down. He was like, all right, man, well, how do you want it? And I was like, I want some custom script. Like, you know, I want it kind of flowy, and, you know, I described to him what I wanted, and he was like, all right, cool. So instead of just being like, yeah, cool, you know, I'm going to tattoo you, he was like, let me show you how to do this. And I was like, all right, well, it's an art weekend, so why not?
Right.
So he sits me down and gave me my first lettering ever. Like, he gave me my first lettering tutorial. On how to put a structure together and how to make uh-huh. a cool word. It was real simple, you know. He just laid the foundation and then kind of went thicken some things, add some flourishes, and you know, he was like, "All right, use that formula for everything you do for that style, and it's gonna work." And I practiced it, and okay. it kept going. But so yeah, I met him at a paint weekend thing at my friend's house.
Did he tattoo you that time?
He tattooed me the following week.
Okay.
Yeah, so we linked up again, and then I ended up getting tattooed by him. So that kind of started my tattoo bug, and then I got some more, but I didn't go, like, it was hard to get in touch with him after, you know, uh-huh. but, I got a few mistakes done afterwards. I went, and I just, you know, my first experience was great, so I just figured everyone that tattooed could draw. And that's when I realized that I was completely wrong. And, you know, and from that point on, I kind of was like, all right, well, I've been fucked up a few times now. And, you know, like, I'll get into that in a little bit.
Okay.
But basically, after my second fuck up, I got kicked out. So I graduated high school. I decided, all right,
you're not talking about tattoo yeah. fuck ups. You're talking yeah. about you.
I'm talking
fucked
about
up.
like me getting fucked. Like I fucked up, got tattooed Uh-oh. By someone that I probably shouldn't have got tattooed.
Gotcha.
And I remember so talking about like joining the military and stuff. After I graduated high school, I was like, cool. I'm my own person. I'm gonna go get a half sleeve. My mom didn't see it that way. I wasn't 18 yet, and she didn't approve of it. Yeah, okay. She didn't approve of any of them. My dad took me for the first one, and he dealt with the backlash
right,
in that one.
Right.
But I wasn't 18 when I had got another tattoo, which is my half sleeve up here.
That's the Polynesian.
Yeah, and I got kicked out of the house. I was living with my ex-girlfriend at the time, and I just felt like a bum.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what forced me into the military. I was like, all right, cool. I got no place to stay. Don't got a steady job right now. I was like, this is it. This is what I need to do.
Where? What made you think of going to the military at that time?
I had an uncle that's done it. Okay. He was living in like really bad conditions, and like military helped him out. You know, turned his life around. So, for me, I figure I was kind of going down that road, and I better like throw out my parachute and catch myself before it's too late. You know, so. Yeah, man. I joined at 18. Originally I was going to be a Marine, and my mom wouldn't sign the papers.
Why?
Like, cause I was 17. So she had to sign for me to enlist.
She
didn't want me to be a Marine. She's like, okay. You know, they're too, she goes there. I was like, I want to go in there and actually do something like physically, you know? Uh-huh. And she was like, oh, that's too much in the battle line. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, if I'm going to go military, I might as well go full military, you know? And she's like, I don't know about that. You're a little crazy. I don't know. I was like, but that's the point. And so she was like, no, she canceled my meeting with that recruiter. I tried to go into the Air Force, me and my homie. We tried to do the buddy system. He could have got in. I got denied. My tattoos, like, they was like, nope. And I was like, all right, cool.
They denied you?
You can't have visible tattoos going in. Like, really? I had my forearm done.
Right.
And it had to be 25% or less or covered.
And this was an Air Force thing?
Air Force. When I tried to join, they wouldn't let me in. And it's weird because the rules change constantly with the military. Yeah. But yeah, man. So I got in. And when I was in A school, I was doing it again. I hated school, man. Like, if it didn't interest me, I would like doze off. So like, you know, like when I was in class, I would draw. And that's kind of what I'm getting at is I kind of like took a break from art for a little bit, cause I was kind of just going off on the wrong path for a little while. And, I found myself back in it when I got kicked out of the house for getting a tattoo. So I found myself in school again, which I joined because I told myself I wasn't going to school. And
what kind of school are
military, you have to go to school for your rating.
Okay.
Depending on your rating depends how long you go to school for.
So you join the Navy and then you start classes?
Yeah, after boot camp, they're like, all right, now you're going to school. I'm like, oh, shit. So I went to high school again. You know, it's like, oh, I'm here all over again. All right, cool. Well, fuck it. I'm here. So in class, I would draw. And like how I did in normal school, I would get in trouble. The instructor would come by like, shootmate, why are you not doing your work? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, because this work sucks. Like, because I don't want to do this shit. And, like, he's like, well, you can't be doing this. And he thought he was going to, like, embarrass me or, like, I don't know what he was going to do. Like, mass humiliate me by showing the class. But he's like, shipmates. And he hangs up. He holds up my photo. He's like, is this what we do in class? I'm like, oh, whatever. He was like, and they're like, everyone's looking at it. He's like trying to embarrass me, I guess.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, that's pretty dope. And it was like lettering or something, I remember. I used to always draw these little like characters too when I was like, just, you know, like a little graffiti guy. But so it was that. And from there, I remember it was like shortly after he did that, someone came up to me and was like, hey, man, I want to, like, I'm 18. I can go get a tattoo now. My first tattoo, I'm going to get my daughter's name. He goes, can you draw it for me? And I was like, that's cool. I was like, yeah. He's like, you want me to draw it? He's like, yeah. I said, I'll draw it. You might have to have your artist tweak it a little bit, but I'll draw something for you. So I was in class. I whipped something up for him on this, like, computer. No, it wasn't even a computer paper. It was a folder paper with lines. So, like, I just, like, drew it on there real quick, handed it to him. I didn't think nothing of it. And then he came back, like, a week later, after our next liberty we had to go out to the city, we came back and he was like, hey man, check this out. He like takes his uniform off and shows me his whole ribs, and he had got the lettering I'd done on his entire rib panel.
Wow.
And I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh, that's dope, man. He's like, yeah. He pretty much went off of exactly what you drew, you know? Oh, wow. I was like, cool. And from there, more people asked me, you know, and then like after a while I was like, all right, enough. Like, I'm not drawing everyone's tattoo. Right. Go ask your artist to do that shit. Like, right. I was like, I just did it because it was fun that one time, but like, you know, enough. And then I was in the barracks and I remember there was this dude in the barracks at school tattooing people. And I remember him, I remember there was this picture going around of this girl he had tattooed, and it was like right next to her like fucking vagina and shit. And I was like, I was like, yo, what's up with that? And they was like, oh yeah, this dude just tattooed this anchor over there. I was like, huh?
Was she in the Navy?
She was in the Navy. Okay. We were all in the Navy. We were in the barracks in
okay.
school.
Oh, okay.
He was doing it and people were like watching out for him and shit while he tattooed in the room, you know?
Oh, okay.
We would get in big trouble if they found out about that. But
yeah, I was just gonna ask about
so
that.
He was tattooing and I seen that and I was like, holy shit. I was like, wow, girls trust you to do that? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh, that's a pretty cool thing to do, huh? He's like, yeah. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I wasn't even thinking about tattooing at the time. I was like, damn. I was like, and at that point, I remember seeing the tattoo and I said, wow, because the art was so bad. Like, I seen it. Okay. I tripped out. I seen it. I was like, holy fuck. I was like, she got that next to her vagina. I was like, oh, that sucks. And then I just remember, like, I was like, wow, people just trust anybody, huh? And I was just thinking of all the bad tattoos I had. And I was like, oh, all right. Yeah. Well, I could see that. And so while I was there, you know, I kind of had like the kind of interest kind of sparked a little bit, you know. Just seeing someone get my work tattooed on them was cool for me. And then seeing the other dude actually doing it, I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't know doing a tattoo was a profession. All the right. tattoos I've got were from like a homie and shit. So I thought it was just like a hood thing. I thought it was like things that mm-hmm. like just dudes did out of the garage and
right,
shit. You
right,
know?
Right, right.
And then I go to my ship and a bunch of the dudes on the ship, like military is, you know, big on tattoos. Mm-hmm. And there was this dude on my ship. He had this amazing sleeve. You know, he showed it to me. I was like, damn, that's cool. And I went with him. We went and it was in Virginia. And then I started seeing all this like amazing work out there. And I was like, wow, you know, there's really cool shit out there.
Yeah.
Coming from Hawaii, the Polynesian artists are real big.
Right.
You know, but like seeing all this other stuff, just like it blew my mind. I was like, whoa. And I think that has slight reason as to why I came back out here. Because, like I said, Polynesia back home is phenomenal. But the other side of the art world is like, it's a whole nother world, you know? And so when I was out there, I started, you know, I made a few friends. And I had befriended this dude, Viren, which he became later on the main influence as to why I tattooed. Okay. So I would hang out with him and he was doing homie tattoos out of his house. I was chilling one day and nobody showed up, or the dude he was going to tattoo just flaked. And he looks at me, he's like, hey man, he's like, what you think? You want to tattoo me? I was like, oh, I don't know.
This is when you're in the Navy?
I'm in the Navy.
Okay.
And, you know, everyone knows that I can draw,
right?
But like, it was just like, I've never tattooed anyone,
right.
But for him, I had drawn him a few tattoos and he's done them on other people. So, you know, he was comfortable with my drawing, but I've never tattooed anyone. So he eventually talked me into it. But at that point, I basically had no idea what I was doing. He set it up for me. He put everything together and he was like, all right, man. So, you know, here's what you do. He kind of gave me the quick rundown. And I just kind of went in and I freehanded my first tattoo.
Holy shit.
I drew it on with Sharpie because
uh-huh.
we didn't have no stencils. I drew it on with Sharpie and I just went in. It was a Filipino sun on his shoulder. I look back at it now. It wasn't a bad tattoo. You know, it still holds to this day. It's a little deep, but not too bad.
I had a similar story. Where this guy was tattooing my artwork on a bunch of friends. He was like a prison tattoo guy. Mm-hmm. And he said he wanted to meet me. I was bartending at the time trying to get into comics. And he was tattooing out of his house because he was out of prison now. And so I went over there to meet him. And then he said, you know, he was tattooing my friend. And then when he was done, he's like, now you tattoo me. And he just went through my sketchbook and picked something out. And I just drew it like on his skin. I had no idea what I was doing. But I felt like I wasn't going deep enough.
Yeah.
But you went too deep.
I went too deep. I just like stuck that shit in there and I pulled the line, you know? I didn't know nothing about needle depth at the time. So I just kind of like.
Yeah, that's something I don't know.
Yeah, I just. Yeah, I think I went the opposite route. I started off just fucking digging it in because I had no idea. I tattooed myself before I tattooed anyone else though. Like,
okay.
Like, I mean, not before. Like, I did that. I did his first, like my very first tattoo on that guy. And then I went ahead and after him, I was like, all right, well, after I did that tattoo, I was like, something clicked. And I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, okay, this is fun as fuck. Like, I love this shit.
Yeah.
And so I went back and I tried to practice. I ordered my first kit off eBay.
Okay.
I know, totally fucking scratch or move. But then again, you know, like, I had no other means to getting, you know, inclined with this stuff. I didn't know anything about it. You know what I mean? So I just knew that I loved getting tattooed. It was dope. And it was fun to do them. So I went back. I started tattooing fruits. I'd use it as an air freshener in my car. Like, okay, I would tattoo oranges and shit. And I would just, like, leave it in my car until it went bad. Like, you know, like, just, you know, little things here and there.
Right.
And then I started tattooing some of the homies on the ship. Like, because being in the military, everybody wants to get tattooed.
Sure.
And a free tattoo on top of that, they're like, all right, sign me up. So, it, man, when I first started, I felt like I was like busy as hell and I shouldn't have been. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I was just tattooing everyone I knew, like, just, you know.
And this is no apprenticeship, nothing.
Nah, man. I started off like raw dogging that shit. Like, I just went straight into it, you know?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there's definitely things that maybe I should have done differently, like maybe apprenticed. I tried at first, but it was just hard to apprentice while you're in the military,
sure,
while you're like deployable and all that, yeah, shit, and nobody wanted to even like time of, give you the time of day because they're like, all right, well, you're a waste of time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You're just going to move in 3 years. So, you know, it was hard to get an apprenticeship like that. And so, like, I decided, I was like, you know, I'm just going to teach myself. Throughout that point, I went to a bunch of conventions that was close by.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I got even more influenced. My very first convention I remember going to, driving to, was the Richmond convention.
Uh-huh.
I got tattooed by Big Mies. At the time, I don't think he was going by Big Mies. I think it was maybe like Justin or something.
Uh-huh.
But he had tattooed my stomach. I had drove there. I'd walked around the convention. It was Richmond. And I just remember his lettering just stood out to me. I was like, sure, holy fuck. And for me, coming from like a background where like I was around a lot of graffiti guys,
yeah,
like I respected that so much. So I seen that. I was like, holy shit, you know, this guy's dope. Got tattooed by him, you know, and just got to watch the process while he did it, which was super inspiring to me. And because that's what the route I wanted to take tattooing at the time.
Yeah.
I got tattooed by him. And then I was like, all right, let's look up the next convention I can go to. I found another convention. It was Hampton, this one. And this time I kind of went with a little game plan of what I wanted to get tattooed. It was a little more meaningful to me this time. And because a lot of times I'm getting it just for the look, you know.
Right.
This one, it, I was going through a certain point in my life where it was really rough.
Yeah.
I just kind of, I don't know, getting tattooed was like my outlet, you know.
Right.
So I went to this convention and I met Boog. And I remember he was tattooing. He wasn't tattooing. He was just drawing on the table. And he was about to judge one of the conventions, the competitions. I talked to him and I told him, I was like, hey, you know, I'm trying to get this done. And we kind of clicked, you know.
Yeah.
And he just, like, loved my idea. And, like, he said it matches style perfectly. And, you know, he, like, set up, sat me down and kind of went to town. It was funny because I was at the convention and being a scratcher, nobody would sell me shit. I tried to like buy a machine, the Mickey Sharps, you know, and they was like, looked at me like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Like, yeah. Like I asked the guys, hey, let me get one of those machines. And the guy was like, he looks at me, he's like, what shop you work for? I was like, I don't work at, you know, I don't sell the scratchers. And then I was like, all right, that's cool, man. You know, I get it. I go and I tell Book this shit. And he was like, yo, motherfucker forgot where we came from, huh? It was like, he's like, a lot of us started that way, you know?
Right, right.
And he was like, to me, the most influential person that I've met in the beginning of my career.
Okay.
Like, before I even started pursuing it as like a full-time thing, it was crazy to me. Like, the people that you meet that influence your, the kind of influence you, you know?
Sure.
So that dude came by the booth later while I'm getting tattooed. And he was like, yo, Boog, yo, I got these machines for you, man. He's like, yo, you can just take them. You know, they're for you. Trying to, I guess, give it to him and shit.
Right.
And then he looks at me, he goes, is this the guy that turned you down? I was like, that's the dude that told me he wouldn't sell me nothing. He's like, nah, homie, I'm good. I got my machines. He, like, gangster as fuck. He was like, he's a, but you could take them back over there. Maybe I'll come get it after the show. And then the guy was like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. And then he was like, did you want those, man? He goes, you can have them. He goes, I don't fuck with that shit. he goes, nah, that was like, he's like, that was fake as fuck, man. I respect it now that I understand like tattooing a little better. I was like, okay, well, yeah, I was a fucking scratcher trying to buy a machine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the time, you know, like it was kind of cool to see how real he was, you know? And so like, then we ended up, after he did my tattoo, came and kicked it with me. And then I thought that was it, like done, you know? The convention was over. I went back. And then later, afterwards, he hit me up like 6 to 8 months later.
Yeah.
Like almost a year later, I get a phone call from him. I'm on the ship. And I'm like, hey, what's up, man? And he was like, hey, Tris, how you doing, homie? I was like, oh, shit. What's up, bud? Like, yeah, I was just like, yo, real random.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, how you been, man? I was like, I've been good. He goes, I'm just checking up on you, see how you've been, you know, see if you're still following through your career. You know, because, like, when I first met him, he had inspired me. He was like, dude, do your thing. He's like, fuck what everybody says, man. He goes, I started the same way. He goes, and he was like, you know what, you know, like, just don't let nobody knock you down, man. Don't let nobody knock your hustle. If they say you can't do that shit, go do that shit. You know what right. I mean? So he was real influential on me, like, when I met him. And so later on when he had called me, I was kind of tripping. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, he called me back. That's cool.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was, like, on my way out. Like, I was already, like, about to get out of the military. And I was like, damn. I was like, I think I need to do this. So I applied for early out, and I got it. And it was because of that phone call that I officially decided. I was like, you know what? I'm getting out of the military to do this. Like, this is what I need to do. So I got out of the military. I went home to Hawaii because I felt like I needed to.
Right.
I needed to get back to my roots a little bit. And then I tried to get an apprenticeship. Tried to do it the right way after doing it the wrong way for like, or there's, yeah, there is a wrong way. There, after doing it the wrong way for like almost 2 years, a year and a half, I went home. And then nobody would hire me. Like I went to like six different shops, eight different shops. Dude, like I walk in, sometimes they wouldn't even look at my album. They look at me walking with an album, they would just be like, nah, man.
Why is that?
I don't know. I'm not gonna talk bad on anybody because like sometimes there's just no room, you know?
Okay.
But a lot of things was they just didn't want to help. Like nobody wanted to hire a scratcher for one. Because breaking bad habits is tough.
Sure.
And on top of that, like, I don't know, like, it's just like, there's the...
Explain what a scratcher is, just to
a scratcher
that don't
is
know.
Someone that has no apprenticeship, no professional tattooing, like, straight up tattooing out of their house, you know, that's a scratcher. Like, I was a scratcher. I started off as a scratcher.
Uh-huh.
But then I went and I got some actual help. Afterwards, I went around and I tried to get an apprenticeship. Either they would tell me my style was not along the lines of what they do, so they wouldn't be able to help me.
Okay. Which,
that was what the nice people told me. Some other dudes looked at me and giggled and just like turned their shoulder while they were tattooing kind of thing.
Yeah.
I went into shops where the dude let me sit in the fucking lobby for like 45 minutes to an hour. Didn't even acknowledge me and there was nobody in there.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean? Like they just gave me the cold shoulder and I was about to give up, honestly. I applied for welding jobs at this point. So I was like, all right, well, if I can't tattoo, I'm going to fall back to what I did in the military, which is what I had told myself why I joined was I wasn't going to do hard labor. I joined the military and I found myself doing hard labor and school. So I regret it. I didn't regret it. But I found myself doing what I told myself I wasn't going to. Came back home. Working with family is a little tough. So
sure.
I was like, you know, I work with my dad part-time, but I was trying to find my own thing, you know?
Okay.
I applied for a welding job. And even that was scarce, you know? Like, just, I guess the job market when I came home was a little hard. Prior military, trying to get a job as a welder. I didn't have any C school in the military, so I wasn't certified in the civilian world.
Right.
So I would have to kind of get my certs and all that kind of done in the civilian world. But I just tried to get like a body shop job. I was like, hey, I can spot weld or whatever.
Right,
you know,
right.
I can arc weld TIG. I don't know how to MIG very well, but I can, you know, if you guys need to do anything, whatever. He was like, I went to a few places. They were full, or if they weren't full, they accepted my application, just never got a call back. There was pretty much no luck for that either. And then I came across this motorcycle shop. I was like, all right, fuck it. Motorcycles are cool. I'm going to walk in here and I'm going to ask for a job. I go into the motorcycle shop and I say, hey man, I went in there right out of the military. So I'm real proper. Like, you know, I came out talking like a military dude, dressing like a military dude, you know, all clean and like, you know, and, I walked in and he like, I talked to the dude, had my, my interview. I was real, my presentation was real, I don't know how he put it. It was presentable, I guess.
Right.
And, he said he liked the way that I came off. And, he was full. He was like straight up. He was like, hey man, you know, you look like a cool dude. I wanted to at least hear you out. As of right now, we're full with all our welding positions, but can you do anything else? He said, is there anything else that you can do that I could use you for? And I was like, honestly, man, the only other physical labor thing I know how to do is flooring. And if I'm going to do that, I'm going to go work for my dad. And, I was like, other than that, I said, I tattoo. I've been trying to, you know, I said, I figured maybe he'd give me like a pinstriping job or something.
Right, right.
And, so I was like, well, I was like, I tattoo, man. And, I was like, I don't have a shop or I don't work in a shop, but you know, I tried to, nobody would hire me. And at that point, it was weird, like how I had like given up on trying to become a tattooer.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, fuck it. You know, I'm going to go weld.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like, or like the paths just kind of like clashed.
Yeah.
And, he had told me, he was like, hey man, my business partner is opening up a tattoo shop in our motorcycle place. Shit. I was like, get out of here. He was like, yeah. He goes, it's called Scully's Tattoo. It was Scully's motorcycle shop. And he was like, it's going to be Scully's tattoo shop. And it's right next door to us. We're connected, you know, he's going to be near to hiring people soon. And I was like, that's dope. He's like, you are a really cool guy. I can put in a good word for you, man. He was like, here's his number. Contact him. See what's up. And at this point, I had thought I'd gone to all the shops that I had known of, or all the well-known shops anyway.
Right.
And then I was just like, fuck, you know, where's this guy's shop at? And he gives me the number. And I live in Nova Beach. I was in Waipahu. It's right up the city over. It's not very far.
Right.
He gives me his information and Polani, which was my original, I guess, mentor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was at Southside. And Southside is that's where I'm from, is at the beach. And it was a 5-minute drive from my house. I was like, holy
shit.
You had
never been there.
It was in the back roads in the ghetto, man. Oh. You know what? It's cool, though, because it was like secluded. It was its own little shop in the middle of all these houses in... There was nothing but trees across the street.
Oh, wow.
Like, so when I look outside, I just see a cliff and trees and an abandoned building that we used to spray paint on. You know what I mean? Like, that was it. That's all we had there. So it was a clientele based shop, but because I was at home, I had all my clientele, all the homies and shit. When I was tattooing out of my garage, just came to the shop instead. You know what I mean? So I was okay.
So this is where you apprenticed.
So I went there and I applied for an apprenticeship. Gave the name, you know, that he told me to and whatnot. And, yeah, man, like I kind of, you know, I applied, he didn't get back to me. It took like a few weeks and I'm like, man, you know, maybe he doesn't like my work either.
Right.
He had my album for this 2-week set and I had texted him like repeatedly. I think originally he wasn't gonna take me on, but I was I was a little annoying. So he was like, all right, man, come down to the shop, let me talk to you. So I went down to the shop, and he was tattooing, and I was just like, you know, watching. I was like, yo, that's cool, you know, because like going into it, I didn't know nothing about rotaries. I didn't know nothing about anything. So he was using a rotary doing a tattoo, and I was just like, oh, that's cool, you know. And I'm just in there just like, you know, hoping that I'm gonna get a job. He's like, all right. He goes, I looked at your album. You know, it wasn't super promising, but there was a few pieces that kind of sparked my interest. And
yeah.
I was like, yeah. So he takes it out, and it was a piece I did on my cousin, and it was negative space lettering going down Polynesian.
Oh,
and he
okay.
was like, I thought this design was pretty interesting. He goes, it's not common, and like, oh, at the time, I guess it wasn't like super common. I've seen it done, but not like a whole lot. And he was like, oh, well, it's a pretty cool layout. He goes, he goes, if anything out of this album, this would probably show, you know, the most promise in your skill, I guess. And I sucked. I sucked really bad, you know. If I go back to that album right now, I'd burn it, you know. But, yeah, he took me on, you know, and pretty much that whole shop was like, we were from the ground up, man. Nobody was like big named. Nobody, you know, was like, we had an OG in there, Benson. He's been tattooing for like 15 plus years. Uh-huh. But nobody in there was like a huge, you know, entity or anything. So, you know, being there, it was like we were teaching ourselves while teaching each other.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So were like, you an apprentice there?
I was an apprentice. Okay. So I came in and I learned. The guys there could all tattoo. Uh-huh. That was no doubt. But they were like old school tattooers.
Right.
And I come in right in the new school phase, I guess, uh-huh, where things are changing. The rules are a little different now. Right. And like, things are just a little different. So I came into a shop where a bunch of like new guys that are kind of new to the game. Uh-huh. And then like one or two old school guys that were in the shop. And I learned a lot from the dudes that were there, like Benson and stuff like that. And then we had a bunch of guest artists, which all kind of led me to where I'm at right now. Because my boss, after it got to a certain point, he could only teach me so much.
Right.
You know, he wasn't like I said, he wasn't no big name, or he wasn't like, you know, a guru at what he did. He could do everything. He just wasn't like, you know. And so I respected him for giving me the opportunity because nobody would.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I got it where I could. But yeah, I mean, like, what he couldn't teach us, he had hired people to.
Oh, that's
so good. So we used to have seminars. Like, I remember we had a machine building seminar. He had hired another artist on the island that used to work for him.
Uh-huh.
Because he used to own multiple shops.
Okay.
And he had hired someone to come to our shop and break down machines and put them together and teach us, you know, piece by piece. I remember, yeah, he brought someone down, Joe, which is like one of my other mentors. Uh-huh. It was crazy. I had a bunch of mentors that I feel like helped me through along my path. But Joe was a big influence on me, where I was trying to learn a little bit more about color composition stuff.
Right.
And Joe tattooed my neck.
Okay.
And he did a guest spot, and my boss had also flown him from the mainland, Oregon. And had him stay at the shop house. It was crazy. We also had a shop house.
Oh wow!
And it was in the back. It was like a little family thing.
Oh, that's
and,
cool.
And everyone was real close, you know. But so we had a shop house, and he stayed over there. And while he was there, kind of created like a friendship with him.
Uh-huh.
And from that point, you know, he was real open with me, and he was like, you know, if anything you need, just ask. And I was like, all right, cool. And I did what he said. Anytime I had a question on tattooing, if he wasn't there, I would just text him and he'd give me his feedback.
Okay.
And I feel like that helped me grow a little bit.
Sure.
And he also influenced me to travel. So from that point, I was at the point where I was learning and I was like a little stuck, kind of. So yeah. I started traveling and I started like trying to take seminars and stuff. Joe had told me, he said, hey man, why don't you come out? Come out to Oregon. Come to Portland and do the convention. And I was like, all right, cool, I'm down. You know, I booked my flight and all that shit, and I was there.
Uh-huh.
I got there, and I remember I was like, all right, I'm going to look for a seminar that I really want to learn and from a really good artist. I go there, and I met Joe at the bar,
uh-huh,
right? First thing, we get there, we're at a bar, and he's with Russ Abbott,
yeah.
and Kiyoki was there, and
really?
We were all just drinking beers and shit. And then the next day, I remember before going there, I had looked up all the artists, and Russ was doing a convention, a seminar.
Oh, okay.
So I signed up for Russ's seminar before even meeting him. And then I go to the bar the night before the seminar and drinking with him. I'm like, oh shit, that's cool, you know?
Yeah, that's awesome.
And then we go to the convention and I take Russ's seminar, which is Friday, first day of the convention. And then I had no idea, on our way back, we were sharing booths. So like what happened was I had taken Russ's seminar, come back to the booth, you know, we had set up right next to each other. So we just put we broke the barricade down. Cause Joe, our booths were all connected because of Joe.
Right.
They were all, he was tattooing with Joe and I came because of Joe. So our booths were next to each other.
Okay.
And, we just broke it down. So I ended up tattooing right next to him.
Oh.
And then I remember like throughout the convention, the last day or so, he puts up a now hiring sign.
Frank and Dagger.
Frank and Dagger, and I was just like, oh, shit. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go for it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I inquired, and pretty much the convention, I feel, was more like my interview. Because right. I did a bunch of tattoos, and he sat and watched me tattoo. Uh-huh. Well, he didn't, like, sit and watch me tattoo, but he was right next to me. So, like, he could see me tattooing. So he offered me a guest spot. It wasn't even a month later. He was like, I want you out here as soon as possible. I want to see, you know, I want to see if you're a good fit. I came out here, did a guest spot for 2 weeks, slept on Will's couch. And yeah, man, like I came out here by the end of my guest spot, I was offered a job. And within 2 months, I was officially moved out here.
Wow.
So all within a matter of 3 months of meeting him, I moved out here.
Yeah, that's for us, man. He changes people's lives.
Yeah, dude. And I was in school at the time. I was like taking community classes for art.
Oh.
And doing, I would go sit in on life drawing. Like the first time I ever like tried that was they had Sunday sessions. You could just go sit. And like, even if you weren't a student.
Sure.
And
free model sessions.
Yeah. And I would go to those, and then the teacher I met. So I was actually taking an oil painting class from one of those teachers.
Right, you told me about that, yeah.
And so Russ, you know, at that point, I was still trying to learn more, you know. And then Russ was like, well, he goes, you could either finish that or you come out here and work, you know, work out here. And then, you know, we could teach you what you don't know. Yeah. And I was just like, well, you know, yeah, all right. I didn't officially finish that last, like, month, I think, because I used that to move.
So, right.
Yeah. Right. But, yeah, that's what brought me out here, man.
That's your story. All right, we gotta cut. I mean, we're good. I have more I'd like to talk about, but the kids have stuff going on I gotta get to.
I don't know, man.
So we'll do another one.
Yeah, that was fun.
All right. Thanks, Trips.
Yo.
Yo, Big, wake up, baby.
Yeah.
Yo, Big, wake your ass up. Come on.
I'm up.
Big, wake up.
I'm up, Diddy. What the fuck, man? What's up?
Come on, now. It's 5:45. We got the 7:30 flight. Yo, Big.
I'm up. Yeah, I hear you, dog. I hear you, man. All right, 7:30.
Yo, take down this information.
And a pen.
Tell your girl and remember it or something.
All right.
Can you do that?
Yeah, write this down. All
right. Like 5:04.
5:04.
Leaving Kennedy.
Kennedy.
Going to LAX.
Whoa. Cali?
No doubt, baby. No, we got to get this paper.
No doubt. All right. I'm up.
Yo, Big.
I'm up, man.
Like 5:04.
All right, 7:30. I'm going to meet you at the airport.
California.
Yeah.
Head so hard that your hat can't fit ya. Either I'm with ya or against ya. Format bent ya. Back through that maze I sent ya. Talking to the rap inventor. Nigga with the game type fifth that flame right. Spell my name right. B-I-double-G-I-E. Iced out, lights out. Me and Caesar Leo. Getting head for some chick he know. See, it's all about the cheddar. Nobody do it better. Going back to Cali strictly for the weather, women and the weed, sticky green, no seeds, bitch, please. Papa ain't soft, dead up in the hood, ain't no love lost, got me mixed up, you drunk them licks up, mad cause I got my dick sucked, and my balls licked, forfeit, the game is mine, I'ma spell my name one more time, check it, it's the N-O-T-O-R-I-O-U-S, you just lay down slow, recognize a real dawn when you see one. Sipping on booze in the house of blues. I'm going back to Cali. 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 If
I got to choose the coast, I got to choose the east. I live out there, so don't go there. But that don't mean a nigga can't rest in the west. See some nice breasts in the west. Smoke some nice sets in the west. Y'all niggas is a mess, thinking I'm gonna stop. Give it L.A. props. All I got is beef with those that violate me. I shall annihilate thee. Case closed, suitcase filled with clothes. Linens and things, I'll begin things. People start to flash. 818-213s, 313s, B.I.G. Frequently floss holes at Roscoe's. If I want a squirter, take her to Fat Burger. Spend about a week on Venice Beach. Sipping Crisco with some freaks from Frisco. I'm going back, back to Cali, Cali. I'm going back, back to Cali, Cali, Cali. Got gunplay, models on the runway, scream Biggie Biggie, give me one more chance. I'll be whipping on the freeway, the NYC way, on the celly celly with my homeboy Lance. Pass hands from left to right, only got 5 blunts left to light. I'm set tonight, better business at Versace store. Says he suck it till I ain't got no more. Only in LA, bust on bitches ballet, rub it in their tummy, lick it, say it's yummy. Then fuck your man, what's your plan? Is it to rock the tri-state? Almost gold, 5G's the show date. Or do you wanna see about 7 digits? Fuck holy exquisite, Cali, great place to visit. I'm going back to Cali, Cali. I'm going